Most gracious and merciful God, Almighty, Father and Mother, Creator and Sustainer, Giver of life and all good, what a blessing it is to be called to the realization that it's you who gathered us this evening, you who feed us with your living word, and you who empower us to live the life that you've created us for, to make the choices that lead us in deeper, deeper direction of your love, and for all the graces that you pour into our lives to remind you, us, that we all belong always and only to you, that you are life, that you are love, and we are loved as we are lived. Move tonight, Lord, through your word, through the Eucharist, through the presence of the community, in obvious and unmistakable ways, to make it clear and evident that this is your church, that we are your people, and that you are the living and eternal God who hears and answers our every prayer. In the Father transcendent, the Son omnipresent, and the Holy Spirit immanent, we pray this. Amen.
There broke out a severe persecution of the church in Jerusalem, and all were scattered throughout the countryside of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made a loud lament over him. Saul, meanwhile, was trying to destroy the church, entering house after house and dragging out men and women. He handed them over for imprisonment. Now those who had been scattered went about preaching the word. Thus Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what Philip was saying when they heard it and saw the signs that he was doing. For unclean spirits crying out in a loud voice came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed and crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. The word of the Lord. Our responsorial is Psalm 66, and the response, let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his wondrous praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth worship and sing praise to you, sing praise to your name. Come and see the works of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. He changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Alleluia, alleluia. Everyone who believes in the Son has eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day, says the Lord. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to the crowds, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. But I told you that although you have seen me, you do not believe. Everything that the Father gives me will come to me, and I will not reject anyone who comes to me. Because I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of the one who sent me. And this is the will of the one who sent me, that I should not lose anything of what he gave me, but that I should raise it on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have eternal life, and I shall raise him on the last day. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
A major event transpired in Jerusalem that set waves of energy flowing outward from that center of the Jewish faith and into the surrounding area. The force of that wave very naturally created opposition. Anytime there's a great force, there's opposition. But in this case, that opposition forced the hand of Spirit to move out from Jerusalem into the surrounding regions. It reminds me of nothing so much as the experience of Tibetan Buddhism, when the Chinese thought they'd throw the Tibetans out of Tibet and put a quash on their religion. What happened was Buddhism spread all over the earth like milkweed seeds that floated out from Lhasa all around the globe. And a spiritual presence of Buddhism manifested a more universal feel, more universal presence. So here we have this newborn Christianity blazing with life. When Stephen was stoned, there's reference to Stephen tonight, he was stoned for doing miraculous work, for healing, for being one with the Spirit, inconvenient for business as usual. And so the encrusted central figures had him stoned, and what happened? He forgave everybody. And it says his face was shining like an angel's as he looked up into heaven as he fell asleep and said, Father, they don't know what they're doing, just like Jesus. So the force that had been set loose by Jesus' way of being present at the passage that most of us fear was now present in the body-mind of Stephen. And it was present in the body-minds of all the apostles as they moved out from Jerusalem to spread the word. And what was this word, this good news, that was so transforming that in Samaria, crowds of people heard Philip, and they believed. I'd like to think it really means they understood. Oh, they got it. They had an experience. Because the belief we're talking about here isn't the sort of intellectual assent. It's, oh, yeah, I believe that. And Christian belief is nothing like that. Christian belief is realizing that I am exactly as Jesus said I am. And what did he say I am? And what did he say everyone in this room is? In fact, everyone on this globe. Well, let's go back a little bit. Back to the Old Testament where Moses is tending his sheep, walking through the wilderness, and he sees a bush that burns and is not consumed. And he says, there's a most curious thing here. It talks to him even, and he turns aside. And this bush says to him, take off your shoes, Moses, for the ground upon which you are standing is holy ground. The ground on which you are standing is holy ground. And he tells Moses, go tell the people I exist, I'm God. And Moses said, well, what's your name? How am I going to express what I've just experienced? Tell them that I am hath sent thee. Tell them that my name is I am that I am, or I am what I am. I am the emness of it all. I am the baseline. And I am speaking out of my own infinite capacity through this living bush, this bush that burns but is not consumed, because I want you to pass a message to people about the nature of reality and about their place in it. So that was the first place we see Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh, I am that I am. But oh, what an intuition. What an amazing intuition. I simply am. I am before explanations. I am before identifiers. I am before counting. I am before anything you can name or conceive of. I just am. The amness of every moment. Now we come to Christ's teaching in the 6th chapter of John, and he says, I am. But now we're at a different level of I am. It's no longer an external I am, you know, an object that burns. It's no, it's personal. And it's right here looking his friends in the face. Now let's recall some of the other I am statements that Jesus has made along the way. I am the true vine. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. Now notice, not one of those I am statements can be quantified. Not one of them can be compared to anything else. It just is. I am the resurrection and the life. Can you count that or catch it in a net? I am the good shepherd. That same revelation that Moses experienced of something talking to him that was related to him and revealing itself to him. Same thing. I'm the good shepherd. I'll guide you. I'll make a way for you. You're the sheep. I'm the shepherd. Don't you worry about it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's simple enough. Where's the way? It's right here. Where's the truth? This is it. I'm the life. And so now we're at, I am the bread of life, and I am the water of life, or the living water, and the living bread that came down from heaven. These are the fundamental substances of required for the expression of life. Bread is simply nutrition. It's a transitional being between growing wheat and the nourishment that a human body needs. It's the food of life. And he's saying, I am the bread of life. Now, the word bread isn't like Wonder Bread. It's like epiousios is the word that translates it. Epiousios is super substantial bread or transubstantial bread. It's not literal. It's above that, but it's absolutely necessary for life. Absolutely necessary for spiritual nutrition. Oh, you can get by on spiritual junk food for a few years, but then you're dead asleep. You're paralyzed. You're doing the same things over and over and saying the same things over and over. And life has become a desert. A desert where there's no meaning, no truth, and no encouragement to live more fully and deeply. So this bread, this super substantial bread, is Christ. Now, this is not bread we have to go looking for. It's not bread we seek outside ourselves. This bread is already within us. It is life itself. It is the presence of vibratory life that I am. Now, can you feel that I am-ness in you? That I am. No, not I am this or that, or I am not, you know, before that, just the am-ness. It's universal. Now, when it becomes conscious, when we become aware of that I am-ness, those qualities, those innumerable qualities, those spiritual qualities begin to be alive in us, and we see light, and we feel life, and we see the way and know the way, and we are fed by the bread of existence, the one thing we need above all other things. If we have this bread, we'll never hunger for anything else. All that we require for our lives will be brought to us without much worry, without much confusion, without the sense of alienation or sense of loss or not enough. Because the fullness of life wants to pour out, wants to feed us with this infinite bread of living life. But oftentimes we're busy chasing after ephemeral kinds of things that really have no nutritional value at all and that ultimately will fail us at the time we pass from this plane. And this living water, this fluidity, is what frees us up from our frozen, no, I am thisness. You appear as this, I appear as this, but ultimately, I just am. And then each of us is an amness that is appearing through a human's lens or through a human experience, but behind it all, it's the same I, the same am, manifesting through every human being and feeding those who are willing to drink his water and lifting us up. What did he say? There will be, if you believe in me, there will be fountains of living water that will well up inside you to overflowing. And the lavish promises that the Bible makes are all fulfilled in the bread of life and the water of life that are present not someplace else, not in another moment, and not after we've behaved more according to the script we've been given. Now, the bread of life is right here. It always is. It can't not be, because there'd be no life if it weren't. The livingness and the formless presence that is us are exactly what we've been looking for. As we chased through conditions, avoided some, grabbed onto others, none of which ever fed us what we're hungry for. Because what we're hungry for is already present in our hearts, and we have to stop seeking out there in order to feed within, in order to be fed by this supersubstantial or transubstantial bread that is the bread of life, the daily bread that Jesus refers to in the Lord's Prayer. And this water of life, for those who drink it will never thirst again for anything. It also cleanses us. It washes us clean of the debris of the past and lets us be brand new souls every single day, experiencing human experience, trying this and then trying that in the experiment that is humanity. But we realize that there is no script for this. There's no way a person ought to be. There's life manifesting through human forms, giving us indications of itself in the law and in the parables and in the teachings and presence of Jesus. But if it all doesn't come down to here and now, if it all doesn't roll up into this moment, where is my bread? In this moment, where is the living water? I may never realize that it's always been here. I may actually not know that I'm thirsty. I may not realize how hungry I am. I may be convinced that, well, it's okay here. But this transubstantial bread is a radical kind of bread for a radical kind of hunger. And this water that will never make us thirst again is again for radically thirsty people for whom common answers have never been satisfactory. And so come, he says, come to the living water. Come to the life I am, because it's your life too. And if you haven't yet felt that presence, if you haven't invited that presence to take up the whole of your consciousness, to take up the whole of your values, to take up everything that you've been holding separate and calling your own, then we haven't even begun to understand how God-like God is, how overwhelmingly all he is, and how our seeming separation has been nothing but a lie. He's been our God all along. He's been our substance all along. He's been our food all along. He's been our life all along. He's been the light that we live by and are conscious by all along. He is Christ. And he's the only thing here that's alive. And he is in motion. He is not static and frozen. He is moving. Life always moves. It's a flame. It burns. It burns in each and every living thing. And it's never, ever consumed. And it reveals itself to those who will turn aside for a moment and listen to it. Amen. The love, the peace, and the joy of our Lord Jesus Christ are with us now and always. Amen.